Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the Lord's Supper, Meditations for Disciples. And this is Lesson 2, Remembering and Proclaiming Christ's Death, from Luke 22:19 and 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. I'll read those in just a moment, but before we begin, let's pray. Father, I thank you for a chance that we have to look at your word and meditate on it and take it in and understand it and study it. And we ask you as we do so today that your spirit would guide us, that as we prepare our hearts for understanding the Lord's Supper, that as we partake in the future, it might be a time of deep communion with you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I want to read Luke 22:19, the second part of the verse. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then a passage from Paul's writing to Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. This probably will sound familiar because these words of institution are used in many, many churches for the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." In chapter 1, we consider Jesus' interpretation of the bread as his body and the wine as his blood. This week, we consider his command to continue this observance into the future. The first two synoptic gospels, that is Matthew and Mark, relate the historical event of the Lord's Supper. This is my body, this is my blood. But the account in Luke, carefully recorded from eyewitness testimony, relates an additional element of the Lord's Supper that night, a command to repeat this act perpetually until he comes. Let's look at this command carefully. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, Luke 22:19. Jesus commands in Matthew and Mark, take, eat, etc., and in Luke, take, divide among yourselves, are aorist imperative verbs in Greek. But the command, do this, is a present imperative. Let me explain the difference. I know you're not Greek scholars, but this will help. Aorist is a Greek tense which emphasizes the occurrence of an action with no regard to its progress or duration. Often it expresses a singular punctiliar point in time, such as do this would be the aorist imperative. The present tense, though, can carry the idea of continuous action in the present. The present imperative has a durative force. So in this case, the present imperative has the idea, do this and keep on doing it. By the present imperative in both Luke and 1 Corinthians, we understand that Jesus intends his disciples to continue to do this. To do what? This verb, poieo, is more than thinking. It denotes an action, quote, to undertake or do something that brings about an event, state, or condition, do, cause, bring about, accomplish, prepare, etc. The context in Luke would be breaking and distributing bread that had a relationship to Christ's body. The context in 1 Corinthians would mean eating bread and drinking wine in a way that is related to Christ's body and blood, that is, Jesus' death. In other words, Jesus' command to do this means that we disciples are to continue this action. The scripture indicates that it was the early church's practice to celebrate the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Acts 20:7. The Last Supper is the single, unrepeatable historical event that took place the night before Jesus' crucifixion. The Lord's Supper is that ordinance which is celebrated again and again when Christians gather in memory of Jesus' death. Discussion question 1. When repeated often, doesn't the Lord's Supper run the risk of becoming mundane and lose its meaning? Why did Jesus command its repetition? Of course, the Lord's Supper was born in the midst of a Passover feast, or Seder. And Passover itself is designed as a feast of remembrance. The Lord instructed Moses from Exodus 12, "This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. When your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" At Passover, there are a number of points of remembrance. In a contemporary Seder, the table is set with, first, unleavened bread or matzah, reminding them that there wasn't time for the bread to rise. They left Egypt in a hurry. Then there's something called haroseth, which represents the mortar used to build buildings for Pharaoh. Bitter herbs are reminiscent of the bitter affliction of slavery. Parsley, dipped in salt water, reminded them of the tears of the Jewish slaves. Roasted egg is a symbol of spring. Lamb's meat, before sacrifices were ended in 70 AD, was part of the meal, now a shank bone. 4 cups of wine, each with a different meaning, are included. Freedom, deliverance, redemption, and release. A 5th cup of wine, the cup of Elijah, looks forward to the coming of the Messiah in the contemporary Seder. During the meal, the youngest member of the family is coached to ask and answer questions such as, "Why is this day different from all other days?" This prompts a retelling of the story of how God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt during the Exodus. So, the idea of a memorial meal was readily understood by Jesus' disciples. Discussion question 2. What was the purpose of the Passover meal for future generations? Why was it to be repeated? What was to be remembered? What would have happened if the Jews had stopped remembering the Exodus? In remembrance of me. In both Luke and 1 Corinthians, Jesus adds a prepositional phrase that explains how and why the disciples are to undertake this action. In remembrance of me. Though it might seem pedantic, let's look at each of these words one by one. In is the common Greek preposition eis. In some contexts, it might be translated in, into, unto. But the word carries the idea of motion into a thing or towards a goal. Here, it is used to denote purpose, an order to, or for the purpose of remembrance. Remembrance, amanesis, means remembrance, reminder, recollection. This isn't just a passive memory, but an active reliving of vanished impressions by a definite act of the will. Then the word of me is the personal pronoun that modifies the word remembrance. The phrase could be rendered for the purpose of remembering me or for the purpose of my remembrance. Either way, the meaning is pretty much the same. Jesus clearly commanded his disciples that they should continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper in order to remember him. What should they be remembering about Jesus? His atoning death for them, of course. Since in chapter 1 we determine that this is the primary meaning of body given for you and blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' words, "Keep on doing this," present imperative, in my memory or in remembrance of me, is a purpose statement, a command that we are continually to remember his atoning death for our sins. So discussion question 3 is, why is our remembrance of Christ's death so important? What happens to Christianity if we neglect remembering in this way? What happens to us personally when we forget Christ's death? Now let's consider Paul's recitation of the words of institution in 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 25 once more. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The words here, received and passed on, or handed on, or delivered, are not just ordinary conversation, but technical terms describing the accurate conveying of the exact words of Jesus. Just as Paul received the words of institution, either directly from Jesus or by reliable tradition, so he passed them on accurately to the Corinthian believers and to the other churches he started. Notice that Paul passes on a rather structured and parallel form of the words of institution, repeating, "in remembrance of me," twice. Verse 26, however, is not part of the words of institution, but a comment upon them. Let's look at this sentence in detail. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For, gar, is a conjunction, a marker of cause or reason, or marker of clarification. It explains the reason or purpose for the remembrance, that is, to proclaim Christ's death. And then there's the word whenever, or as often as, translating a pair of words, hosakis, as often as, with aeon, as. Every time you partake of the Lord's Supper is an occasion at which a statement is made, a proclamation is heard, that Jesus Christ gave his life as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. What a message. Then the word proclaim or show, King James Version, is katangelo, to make known in public with implication of broad dissemination. The word is frequently used in literature of public decrees. The word is often used in the Acts and Paul for preaching the message of Jesus, for declaring the Christian gospel. Paul told the Corinthian church, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified," 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 2. The message of the cross is not only a reassuring word for believers, but also for unbelievers. The Lord's Supper is an enacted sermon about Jesus' sacrifice for sins. Discussion question 4, based on 1 Corinthians 11:26. In what way is the Lord's Supper a proclamation? To whom is the proclamation made? Why is this important? What happens to the church when its proclamation shifts to a different central theme? I think it is ironic that some churches relegate the Lord's Supper to only an occasional observance when the sacrament contains the church's central message. The Lord's Supper is intended to be both a memorial feast and an enacted proclamation of Jesus' death for our sins. In your remembering, you also proclaim the gospel of the crucified Christ to all mankind. Let's pray. Father, help us to remember Jesus' death for our sins rightly in the Lord's Supper. Help us to proclaim boldly in this sacrament Jesus' atoning death for the sins of all mankind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.